So, welcome to this very ad hoc discussion with the roundtable team at CRA Resources. We've got a client that has never done panel interviews before, and we had a bit of trip and fall whenever we started scheduling candidates for those panel interviews because the back office team that was doing that weren't really proactively scheduling preps for those panel interviews. And I think that's a flawed approach because panel interviews are completely different than a regular one-on-one interview. And I know that there's a lot of CRAs out there and job seekers out there that have done panel interviews, but I thought it would really make a lot of sense for us just to have a very open discussion about what the differences are and why it's important to really think about what you're getting ready to walk into as a job seeker if you're going into a panel interview. So, team, what do you guys see as some of the key differences whenever you're talking about a panel interview versus an interview with just one or two individuals?
I think one of the differences where folks may get, I don't know if the right word is intimidated, but when they think of panel, they're thinking, oh my God, it's going to be such a formal, there's going to be so many people there. What are they going to ask me? What kind of questions should I prepare myself to answer? I always like to tell folks, treat your interviews as if it's a business lunch date, whether it's a one-on-one or a panel. You're getting to know every single person just as much as they're getting to know you. So don't get intimidated for the fact that there may be more than two people or more than one person in that panel. Treat it like a business lunch date. Do your homework on the client. Research what they have in the pipeline, and then obviously freshen up on all your soft skills and your skills as a CRA, like the competency questions and things that you do. It panel sounds intimidating, but it does not have to be intimidating if you don't think of it that way, if that makes sense.
It can be. I mean, if you go to a panel in an actual room, it's a face-to-face. It
Oh yeah, I can
those
see how people could freak out.
Those can be really awful, can't they? I mean, you
Yeah,
got like one
yeah.
chair on one side of the table and like five to six
Five.
chairs on the other side, and it's like, you almost can feel like this light on your face where they're
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
drilling you for questions. And it can be very similar whenever you're sitting in front of a screen too, because you've got all of these people. Makes it really hard to have eye contact too, doesn't it? Because we talk a lot about eye contact on any kind of video interview, and with the panel interview, it's even harder because you always want to look at the person that's talking to you because you're trying to assess their body language. Well, if you've got three or four or five people on the video talking to you, if you're looking at their picture, their image on your video so that you can assess their body language, they're not feeling that you're making eye contact. And that is actually a flawed approach because you want them to feel that you're making eye contact. So to the extent where you can, is you want to kind of balance being, looking at the individual that's speaking versus looking into your camera, because only when you're looking into your camera is it that you're going to make them feel like you're making eye contact. And when you're building a relationship, that's really, really important. And so you could do a couple of things depending on the platform, Zoom or Teams. You can set it to where the speaker is big rather than having like a, what do they call it? Like an auditorium view or whatever. You can have it to where the speaker pops up and the speaker is big. And so that will help because then that speaker's face is going to be closer to your camera. So you can kind of look a little bit back and forth and they'll feel a little bit better with the eye contact thing. And this is actually a really key point that everybody needs to be aware of whenever they're scheduling with panel, well, any kind of interviews, but especially with panels, because it gets a bit more tricky whenever multiple people can be talking. So, what else though? There was something else that you said, Natalie, that I think is important. I mean, obviously we're dealing with a lot of different people, but what is the key point whenever you have a panel interview and you've got a lot of different people that you need to consider with the panel?
I
I
think one of
always
the
think,
things, go ahead,
oh
Maya.
no, you go, Carrie, you go.
I think the primary thing is realized what position that person sets in the company. So, because then you'll be able to determine what's important to that person.
I agree. I agree. To the extent that you can, and if you're working with an agency like us, we do the best we can to help you with this, is understand who's going to be in that interview and what their roles are. And that will help you prepare, because most panel interviews are going to have individuals that you're either supporting or providing work directions to. So if you're a CRA, a lot of times they'll have CTAs or, you know, document control or somebody that, you know, that you're going to be working with at that kind of a peer-to-peer or I'm supporting you, you're supporting me level. There could be peers. There could be CRAs or leads. There could be management. Sometimes there's HR. Sometimes there's director level. So understanding who's going to be there. Now, again, it becomes a bit more tricky because the same question that might be asked at, from a CTA or a peer CRA will have a different meaning in your answer than if the director asks it. So understanding what's motivating the questions behind each individual is really important because, you know, a CTA asks a question, think about what's motivating them to ask that question. And it might be, how quickly can you get me responses or essential documents or this, that, or the other, or what are your expectations, et cetera. Whereas the director, their expectations of that same or similar question would be completely different because the director is going to be looking more of your long-term commitment and the overall strategy of how they're going to be moving forward with their projects, et cetera, et cetera. So understanding that you now have this huge diversity in front of you and being able to tailor the answers to the questions based off of what might be motivating that particular individual to ask the question is key. It's very important. Does that make sense? Or anybody have anything to add to that?
Maybe we can go into a little bit about what each one expects. So for example, mm-hmm. if you're talking to HR, mm-hmm. what does HR find as important?
Well, I mean, if that's a question for me, if I'm prepping someone to have a call with HR, HR cares about the culture of the company, and they want to make sure that, A, you're committed. I mean, you've hand-selected this opportunity. B, that you're clear on what the role of the position is. C, you've got a strong communication style, and D, fit. I mean, are you going to be able to fit into the culture of the team? Because they care about things continuing to run smoothly. What HR is very concerned about is attrition levels. They want to make sure that they're selecting an individual that comes into the team and stays, so they stick, which means that you're able to articulate that you've hand-selected this opportunity. This position is important to you, and this is the reason why, and that you're clear about what the job function is. Because if you're not 100% clear about the job function, HR is going to think, well, they aren't really taking this very seriously. Mm-hmm. HR is also a really good opportunity to be able to flesh out any questions you have about benefits. I don't recommend you going in with the first call on that unless they bring it up. But they're a really great one to have the discussion about benefits and pay time off and bonus structures and growth opportunities and, you know, that type of thing.
And I think in our industry, if they have an HR interview, they should be expecting a second interview
yeah.
with somebody that's on the ClinOps team.
Agreed. Absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. What about the structure, the format? What do you think that the team is doing on the back end if they're getting ready to do a panel interview? And Carrie, what do you do whenever we interview for internal teams and I have you and Becky have a call with someone like Savannah? What do you guys do ahead of time?
I prep for the call and make sure that I'm asking all the questions I want to ask to determine if they're going to be a good fit before I'm going to escalate them to you to decide if, because I will go in and be like, well, call drop, they were terrible, couldn't answer any questions, the room in the background was a mess, so.
Well, there is that too, but you and Becky coordinate. You ask mm-hmm. these questions, I'll ask these questions. Mm-hmm. So I think what every interviewer needs to understand is when there's a panel, someone has a script running on the back end. There's a screen form, and they're saying, CTAs, I want you to focus on this area. Peer CRAs, I want you to focus on these questions. Management, you guys need to focus on these questions. Director level, you guys focus on these. And so there's a plan when they come in on who's going to be asking what questions and what kind of response they're looking for, et cetera. And so, again, just understanding that usually there's quite a bit of structure whenever someone plans a panel interview. And if you let them talk long enough, they're going to tell you how to sell them, meaning if all of the questions are around a specific topic, like quality assurance, or maybe it's around commitment to the project, or maybe it's about a specific issue that they're having with the project, like the sites aren't being compliant, or everyone's behind on entering data, or there's issue with attrition at the site level, or whatever, you're going to start being able to glean information because that's where all of the questions are harboring around. Pay attention. There's a theme. And so then you can start addressing it using behavioral style responses of, yeah, well, you know, I've had these situations to where I've had to go in and clean up sites because there was a significant amount of attrition at the site. You're echoing the questions. And then you explain to them how you've solved their problems. But know that there's always a reason and there's always a theme that's going to go on in the back end. And so being aware of that up front is going to be very helpful. And that also keeps it very efficient, too, because now you don't have crossover on questions. But here's the one really key thing that I think all of you guys that are listening is really important for. The great thing about panel interviews is everybody's taking notes. And when they get off that call with you, they're going to be comparing their notes. Mm-hmm. And so you want to close the call. Based off this discussion, what skills and qualities do you think I have that will make me a great fit for this team? You know, the CTA is going to think of some things. It's a, you don't say, you know, do you have any issues or do you have any concerns? You have to ask it in a way to where you put them in the mindset to think positively about you. What skills or qualities do I have that will make me a great fit for this team? The CTA is going to have things that they come up with. They're going to write them down. They might verbalize it. They might not, but they're going to write it down. Your peers are going to write things down. The managers are going to write things down. Those are going to be the last things that they think about before you leave that prep. And it's going to be the first thing they talk about whenever they go and start talking about your candidacy. And this is a big sell. If there are any concerns, like you didn't have experience in handling a difficult PI or whatever, those concerns will come up then and you will be able to address them. You don't ask them if they have concerns. You let them bring them up organically. You ask them what skills or qualities you have that will make you a great fit. That is a great way to end in any type of interview, but definitely with a panel one.
They might get their answer too, that they may not be moving forward based off their response.
Yeah. Most of the time, though, it's been my experience that individuals, I mean, people are polite for the most part, and they're going to respond. They're going to say, well, I really loved how you handled this situation. I really like that you turned your essential documents around and blah, blah, blah. I love that you did this. I love that you did that, et cetera, et cetera. And whenever they do that, then it's really easy to say, great, when can I start? Or what are the next steps? Ask for the job. You guys should always close the call with asking for the job. Hiring managers want you to ask for the job. They want to know that you want it. And so don't be shy about it. You're there for a reason. We hundreds of applicants before we pick the handful that actually get interviewed. If you're in the interview there, you're there for a reason. Ask for the blooming job. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Maya, did we cover your topic?
You did, yeah. I was going to say something very similar. I was going to say panel interviews I found to always be about broad appeal. Like whoever yeah. you're talking with, whoever you're dealing with, they're representing some different part of the company or the team you're going to be working with, and you want broad appeal, which is why I minimize my jokes in panel interviews, because one joke might land somewhere else, does not land on the other person, so I minimize the humor. I just go for, you know, that's my one piece of advice there.
That's a really good point. Because yeah. you're absolutely right. You can't feel an individual's personality and whether or not they'll think something's funny because you've got a lot of energy yeah. in front of you. It's really about a lot yeah. of energy work too, isn't it?
So it is, yeah. And some people might be like, this is very serious. We take this seriously. Someone else is like, oh, you know, we take it seriously, but also this is a funny joke. So just no jokes, no humor. Wait till you get the job and then dazzle them.
So Natalie, Jenny, will this help you whenever you're prepping people for panel interviews? Anything that I might have missed that would be good to cover?
I think you nailed it. It's very helpful.
All All right. Well, those of you guys that are out there listening, if we do publish this out there on the broad spectrum, we know you have a lot of options, but we do help to prep you for all of your interviews. And we have these discussions because we think it's important. It's silly just to put you over there and then leave you high and dry. So CRAresources.com, if you want to have any of this additional content, just go to /blog, take a search on interview. There's actually even a little interview section there that has all kinds of interview tips as well. And if you have additional questions, feel free to shout. We also have a coaching program. You can sign up to the community. It's free. If you want paid coaching, we can help you with that too. Thank you so much.